This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, Fangirl Nation. You are listening to Fangirl Sports Network's Get My Job podcast on Believe. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am so excited to be joined today by sports anchor for the NBC affiliate in Kansas City, Haley Lewis. Haley talks about her journey from Miss Tennessee to sports reporting, growing up in a football family, being your authentic self, the game day grind, and so much more. This conversation is a great one, so let's get to it. Haley, thank you so much for joining me this morning for Get My Job.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be on.
Well, let's jump in and get started with how you got going in this business and kind of take us through your professional journey up until this point.
Yeah, I was actually, I was talking to someone the other day about, hey, how'd you get in this industry? You know, and you'll have a lot of people or people who are wanting to get in this job be like, what were the steps that you took? And I don't think I've ever spoken to another female in this occupation who was like, oh, well, I went to school for journalism. Then I got my first job on TV. And then after that, I went into a professional or on-air TV talent, and it was all smooth and easygoing. I feel like everyone is always so up in the air and have a roundabout way of how they got there. So for me, it was, I actually went to school in Nashville. Okay. I went there for a vocal performance major, which
okay,
has nothing to do with what I do now. But I mean, I will say the thing I learned about that was I learned how to perform. I learned how to be on camera. I learned how to be on stage. So that did help. But my scholarship was for classical vocal performance at Belmont University. And then ended up realizing, you know, I'm not going to be the next Carrie Underwood doing this. This is not going to work out. I had always been involved in sports. My dad was a longtime head football coach here in Kansas City. And so for my entire upbringing, it was following dad's career, right? We moved from town to town. When I moved to Nashville for college, that was my 10th move. Moving was easy. And the dinner topic table at home was always football, you know, until my little brother came around. I was my dad's son, and we would bond over that. I grew up on the sidelines with him. And so it was just something that once I realized that performance wasn't going to be what I was going to do, I kind of started pursuing internships. And I worked in the athletic program at my university and realized, okay, this is something I could do.
Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts.
Well, then I don't know if I'm aging myself by bringing this up, but there was a really rough time in the nation's economy around 2010 and 2011, kind of around then, where my parents were having some financial struggles and I was putting myself through school already, but that extra money that they were helping me with was no longer going to be able to come in. And so a sorority sister of mine at the time told me, like, hey, have you ever heard of the Miss America pageant? And I was like, do you know I come from a football family? I don't know anything about toddlers and tiaras or Honey Boo Boo or any of this crap going on. And she's like, no, you can pay for your school with this. And I was like, wait, seriously? So she explains it to me. She's like, hey, you win Miss America, you win a good chunk of your financial aid. And then also the organization that you win with will help you pay for the rest of college. And I'm like, okay, so where do I sign up? And she told me all about it. And somehow I have no clue. We just kind of approached it like a game. I told my parents, okay. I said, hey, I'm doing a pageant. Let's write down the X's and O's. Let's figure it out. And we threw it together and somehow ended up winning Miss Tennessee, having never done pageants before in my life. Find myself at Miss America and then end up placing in the top 10. And it was a whirlwind, but it's so crazy how those things help catapult you into the career that you are now, because I never would have thought of myself as some pageant girl. But I will say, I learned how to be well-spoken. I learned how to give an elevator pitch. I learned how to speak on camera. Hey, I learned how to do my hair and makeup, which, as you know, in this industry is hella important. So that was nice. And went back to school, kind of paired it with the newfound skill set I had with Miss Tennessee, and ended up, you know, getting an opportunity with one of the guys in the OVC, which is what Belmont University is in, saying, hey, you want to come be our sideline reporter? And I was like, sure. Senior year, jumped on the train of I'm going to go be Aaron Andrews. And then ever since then, it took off. So it was a very roundabout way, because I don't know about you, but what 18-year-old knows what they want to do with their life? So for me, it was this kind of perfect storm that fell into place, because if there was literally anything else I could do besides this job that would make me happy, trust me, I would go do it, because I would love to have a weekend off. But this job is so, you know, I know I'm in this for the right reasons. And I know that this job is so fulfilling, because, you know, we have these long nights till 2:30 a.m. I go home and I'm like, man, I don't know if I can cuss on this, so I'm going to try not to, but be like, I love my job. Like, this is awesome.
Well, and I think that's something that I would love to talk about for a minute, because for a lot of our younger reporters or people just starting out in the industry that are just like, I love sports, you have to remember that it's a lot of long hours, and we talk about it a lot on this podcast. But I think for you, for specifically, if we're looking at the week we're recording, the Kansas City Chiefs had a Sunday night football game. And I remember seeing on your Instagram, you know, throughout the day, and I know this is a beat reporter, but it's a busy day. And so you had a full day before you even got to the stadium, and then your day really begins. So if you could talk a little bit about that, just like what that is and why loving what you do and being in it for the right reasons is so important.
And I think, I said that a little bit earlier, just if there's something else besides your occupation that is going to make you more fulfilled in life, go do it. Because this is not an easy path, but if this is what gets you up in the morning and lets you sleep at night, then you know you're in the right spot, and you're right for the right reasons, right? This is not a place, and I always love when people want to bring up that stereotype of, oh, do you want to just date athletes or this? And I'm like, you know how much easier it would be to date a professional athlete than doing all the crap that I'm doing? You know what I'm saying? If that was the goal, why would I put myself through all this? Like it's so funny that people think of those stereotypes, and you're like, okay, if you're in this for the wrong reasons, yeah, I get it. But if you're in this for the right reasons, you know how hard this job is, how demanding it is, how much time it takes. And like you were saying, if we get to the field and it's 5 hours before the first kick, right? Kickoff is in 5 hours. We're there. We got pregame shows. You don't see all the work that goes into the pregame show, because we did that all throughout the week, gathering all the interviews, doing all the pressers, showing up at practice every day, talking with people from Tennessee for this Titans matchup. We go to the game, we're at the game, we do the pre-show, we stick around in the field, we get all the content that we're trying to show fans, like, hey, if you're watching from TV, let me show you the things that your TV won't show you. Then you go up, you watch the game, you write notes, you're tweeting the whole time, you're getting questions ready. I mean, we go down there, and it's at the 2-minute warning, and the Chiefs PR guy has me on the sideline, and he's like, okay, right when that clock goes off, we're running onto the field, you're going to be on the 30-yard line, we'll grab you a player, you got to knock it out real quick. And then all of a sudden we go into overtime. So now everything's changed, because I wrote a whole different story upstairs in the press box than what happened on the field, because you just have to be on your toes and ready for it. And then you run into the locker room, you run into the pressers. After that, you got a 90-minute post show. You got to wrap up stuff for the morning. And then somehow it's 2:30 a.m. and you're not home. And it's the grind of that you have to be almost obsessed with, if that sounds like the best word to say, because it will weed out the weak. And you learn that from the smaller markets as you get to bigger markets. It weeds out mm-hmm. the people who don't want this as much. And that's fine. You don't need to want it as much if you don't want it. But it's something that I would really say to the people who want to get into it, just realize your weekends are gone and you're going to have Mondays and Tuesdays to hang out with your friends, and social life is going to have to revolve around this. And if you can make that work for your life, if this is your passion enough, then it's not going to feel like a chore. But if it does feel like a chore, that's probably a good indication to you that you could find something else that would fulfill you more. You got to be comfortable realizing that your schedule is never going to be a normal Thanksgiving off with your family.
Like, right. No,
you're working Christmas, you're working some random bowl game on New Year's Day and everything. But like I said, it is the thing that makes me so happy. So not all the time, but most of the time.
It is funny to me that how many of my friends, close friends, still ask me, what are you doing for the holidays? Like, my holidays are after the Super Bowl. Yeah, well, I'm covering a game on Christmas Eve. I'm also Jewish, so it's like not as big a deal, but it's still the holidays. And, you know, I'm covering a game on Christmas Eve, and then I might get to spend some time with my family. But it is funny, and people just don't, if you're not in it, it's really hard to explain it.
It is,
and
yeah.
I think people, you know, kind of forget that. But you are correct in that you do have to love it. Your schedule changes dramatically, and it really is not your own. Your schedule is their schedule. Yeah. You got to remember, this is their job too, and it's a business, right. And they also have the same issues as everybody else does.
And their families do too. And I mean, there are so many wives and girlfriends that I'm close with on this team where I'm just like, people say what they want to say from the outside looking in, but if you saw what these women were doing, they have such a huge role in their success on the field. Simply, I mean, they're moving these people, you know, the trade deadline comes up. You got to uproot yourself and move across the country mm-hmm. within a matter of weeks. And he's got to be on the field 3 days later. There's mm-hmm. so many things that go into it that people don't see, because guess what? They see, like, you know, four quarters of a game on the field, a little bit of a snippet of a presser, and then 2 minutes of a post-game wrap. And that's it.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into this, I think, that people don't see. This job is not just asking four questions post-game, running onto the field, talking to some dude. Like, it's so much more than that.
That is 100% true. Kind of with that in mind, is there a misstep that you see women making when trying to break into the sports industry?
Oh, I mean, there's the obvious, don't fraternize. Like, that's obviously not a good thing you want to do. But also, I would say one of the biggest mistakes that I see younger women do is they think once they come out of college that it's ESPN or bust, and mm-hmm. it's Sports Center or bust. You know, it's I got to be on this, and if I'm not, then I'm not good enough for it. Or if I don't get this first gig, and it's like, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I mean, when you come out of college, just get a gig. That's all you want. Just get a mm-hmm. job. And the first job is the hardest because it stresses out these college students so much. And the world of sports has changed so drastically, even from 6 years ago when I was in school. And so I think the biggest thing that people do is they freak out so much about that first job. And really, the first job is, here are the biggest keys I would say for your first job. Go somewhere you can grow. Go somewhere you have mentors that can grow you, and go somewhere that you can network and grow your circle. Those would be the biggest things to me, is that it's not necessarily, am I on this TV station or this? If you have an opportunity to travel with a Pac-12 football team every single game and go do something, but live in the middle of nowhere, like Northern California, go do it, versus being, you know, some beat reporter for a bigger, or I would think even like a professional team, but you never get to travel and you only get snippets with them every couple of days. Like, go do the job that gives you the most opportunity and exposure and people you can grow with and grow under, and also grow your circle. Cause that's all, you know, that's all it's about. It's about networking, and it's not necessarily, I hate to say it, it's not necessarily about the talent. It's more about the exposure and who you're speaking with and who your circle is with. And so that's the biggest thing, is when you start in this job, you just got to get your foot in and not worry about what it looks like to the outside in. You know, I know a lot of our friends go make over 50 grand their first year out of school, and they're killing it and this, this, and this. But you gotta toss the comparison aside and go for what you know is going to make your career grow eventually one day.
So the only counter I'll say to that is if you do have the opportunity to be a beat reporter, it's not just snippets.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Like, as a beat reporter, you are there every day and you have, you know, a lot of access and you're talking to players and coaches and you're at practice on a daily basis. So that does give you a lot of opportunity to learn and grow. So that would be my only counter to that. But I agree, going somewhere you can grow. And the other thing, of course, it's so important to get reps. And you want to be able to do that. But I will say, as someone who is a beat reporter that covers the 49ers, you're going to get about as much access as you could get anywhere, right? Because you are there every day and you're in the locker room and everything like that. So, you know, that is a great opportunity.
I'm sorry. That was probably a poor example of what I was trying to say. Was basically just maybe the best way to say that is don't always take the bigger market for less exposure versus, or more, how am I saying that? I'm not saying that correct, but basically don't take the bigger market for less opportunity when you have more opportunity in a smaller place that you might not think is as flashy, if that makes sense.
Yes. And I think there's something to be said for sure for getting those reps and learning.
Absolutely,
all of that. I think
and everyone's different too, right? Like, it depends on what is your home life like? What is your family like? Do you want to be close? Do you want to be far? I mean, there's a lot of things that weigh into that. I just would never want anyone when they graduate to be fearful of going to, which I mean, I was, but just going to the middle of nowhere, right? And being like, I don't know what's going to happen here, but hey, this is a great opportunity. Let's dive in, you know, and just go for it. That was something I was really scared of coming out of school, especially with like people graduating and going on for, oh, I'm going to have a solid job in accounting or have this. And I'm like, I'm going to make $28,000 and go live in the middle of nowhere. So this is going to hopefully work out one day.
But it's a good way to build. And I think it's another important thing to bring up because that is what happens more often than not. And I think a lot of times we see people on air that we feel just woke up one day and ended up, as you said, on ESPN or on the NFL Network or wherever. And that's not the case. These people started all over the country in a number of different markets. You just noticed them one day because you turned on the NFL Network or ESPN and you don't live in the middle of nowhere. So you didn't see the build and all of that. But I think, you know, that's important to remember is that everyone starts somewhere and there is certainly something to be said. And I've had a lot of women on the podcast talk about how they're so grateful and thankful that they got their reps in a place where they really could learn because you're going to make mistakes in the beginning. That's just part of it. That's true of any job or any career. And you'd rather make those mistakes in a place where you'll grow from them and you'll learn from them. And it's not going to be the beginning and end of your career because the worst thing that can happen is for you to get thrown into something you're not ready for.
Right.
And then you do make a big mistake. And especially in the world we live in today, with social media and the 24-hour news cycle and all of that, sometimes it can be hard to recover from that. So, you know, I definitely agree that going somewhere where you can grow is so, so important. And kind of with that in mind, I'm segueing to another question. In the world of social media, how do you deal with that on a daily basis? Do you respond to trolls? Do you not respond to trolls? Kind of what is your feeling on how you deal with social media generally?
I mean, it's hit or miss. I should respond to less than I do. Sometimes I will because simply I'm in a clap back kind of mood.
Okay, but fair enough.
The majority of time, I think it's wise to just let trolls be trolls. You know, they're these little keyboard warriors. Let them do their thing. But at times it is, I think, good to stand up for yourself and be able to say, you know, hey, this is just inappropriate or disrespectful, or just because I simply have an opinion doesn't mean that it needs to be rebutted, right? And I'm sure you've been victim to this too. People are terrible. They say the craziest things and you wonder, Would you ever in a million years think of saying that to someone's face? And they
never.
And they, no. And then, and you also think to yourself as a woman and a female, and especially in this job, I would no more ever go on anyone's social media, even if I grossly disagreed with them, and go, you write whatever on their
right
thing. No, I just would keep it to myself and move on. But that is hard, because, and I'm sure you can feel this way too, in the beginning of this career, it really hurts. I'm not gonna lie. You're coming out of school, I felt like I had thick skin, but apparently it was very thin, because people would say things and gosh, I would let it get under my skin. And I really wish I hadn't, because I let it affect how I limited myself, because I was so fearful of the rebuttal or what people would say or this. And then you start to build a reputation for yourself. People start to recognize that you are not just a face, or you are not just the stereotype of what they think you're supposed to be. You actually have the backbone and the education and knowledge to be doing this job. And then you start building that reputation, and then you start getting support, and it gets better. But I mean, I even had someone arguing me on Twitter like the other day about the most insignificant thing ever. And it's hard. I'm not going to lie and say that it doesn't affect me still, because there are times when
you're human.
And I see negative comments and I'm just like, like, why? Like, I'm just after every newscast, I'm just waiting for the at in my mentions on Twitter. But, you know, you got to brush it off, because it's never, I can't imagine what people on national TV get, because even just seeing small comments on people who I respect and adore on TV, and the people, what people say about them, I'm just like, you'll never please everyone. So you might as well just don't limit yourself, go for what you want to do. And on social media, that should be a reflection of your intimate self. I mean, well, intimate as much as you're wanting to share.
Right.
But let it be you, you know, everyone's going to hate.
And it's that's true.
Whatever, you know?
That's 100% true. And you said something very important there. You're never going to please all of the people.
Yeah.
So you need to, not you, but the universal you, we all need to kind of let that go. It's so hard.
Well, sure.
So hard.
And social media, everyone's perfect, right? I'm even a victim of looking at that stuff, and you compare, and it's hard. But yeah, it's kind of the double-edged sword of social media nowadays.
Is there a criticism, constructive criticism, that you received early in your career that you found really helpful in shaping you as the reporter you are today?
Yes, girl. Don't change your voice.
That's a good one.
And then I would like go on air the first couple of times, and I'd be like, reporting live. Like, what are you doing? Be yourself. Be your normal voice. Don't lower it. Just talk. And I think we all kind of learn that, because obviously the way in which we're speaking right now, I mean, even though it's conversational, it's more professional, right? Like, I would probably be a little different if I was just talking to my girlfriend on the couch drinking wine or something. But that's how everyone is at work. You change a little bit because you want to be professional in your approach. But that was the criticism that I received pretty early on, was you don't need to change your voice. Just you naturally speak. I mean, obviously, if your voice is extremely high pitched, maybe try not to over exaggerate what you're doing. But I think being you is, gosh, it's such a cliche, and I'm sorry it sounds so trite, but that's the only brand you have. So
you're right, though. It's important.
Yeah. So that was the thing. Don't change your voice. Just have your voice be who you are, and naturally just let yourself kind of guide out who this person is, because it takes a while. I still don't even know exactly my brand, and I'm figuring it out still.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. And so kind of, what do you do for you, or what would your tips be on figuring out your brand? Because the reality is of this, again, this world we live in today, I know it's not like I'm 98 whenever I say that,
right?
but the reality of it is that we are all a brand, and we are building our brand, and it's what we're putting out there, and we're forward facing and all of these things. So kind of, what tips do you have for kind of finding your brand, and how have you gotten there?
Well, I mean, that's the best question you'd probably ask, because I'm still working on it, right? I'm still, what makes Haley Haley? What makes me unique? There's a lot of women who look like me, who do my job. So what makes me, you know, stand out? What differentiates me? And I have learned the more success I have on reviews, criticism, online comments, things like that, the more success I have is from simply letting my personality show. Who mm-hmm. I am off the cuff, who I am behind scenes. I think that's a really big thing about finding out who you are is everyone sees the 2 minutes you put on, you know, social media or the you know, and I'm not hating on editing. I edit my photos all the time too with wonderful filters, thank God. And you know, they see that, right? And they don't get right. to see who you are at, with your family, who you are at home and lounging. And I think if you're building a brand, let people into that. Now, I'm not mm-hmm. saying you need to share. I have, you know, dated and whatnot, and I've never shared any of my dating life or anything like that on social media, but I'm not saying you need to share the most intimate part of your life, but just share what you're comfortable with. Show them who you are because they want to see you as a human. And so I think you being more authentic with yourself at home is going to help you be more authentic with people out in the field. And that mm-hmm. was the biggest thing for me is like, stop trying to be a cookie cutter brand of what you think is acceptable and just fall into what you already are naturally, because it's been enough for people all along. So why is it not enough for people now? And that's the best piece of advice I can get. And again, it sounds really, really, really cliche, but I think the more authentic you speak to yourself at home and in your private spaces will be the more authentic you can be with the world, if that kind of makes sense. Like you can't really wake up and tell yourself you're a piece of crap in the mirror when you're getting ready and talk negative to yourself if you're going to go out there and expect people to respect you and think good of you at work, if that kind of makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. And I think it's an important thing. And some cliches, and I say this on this podcast a lot, some cliches are cliches for a reason. Well, all cliches are cliches for a reason. And the reality is you can only be you. And it's funny, a few weeks ago, I was doing an interview with a colleague of mine for a local news thing for the 49ers. Actually, it was before the Chiefs game, oddly enough. But it was before the Chiefs game. And at the end of the interview, she said, you know, make sure you're following Tracy. She's got one of the freshest perspectives on the beat. And that really stuck with me because I was like, that makes me feel really good. And I do it differently. You know, some of the stuff analysis and news is what it is, but I do share content differently and I do my job differently than my colleagues and it totally works, but mm-hmm. it's a really nice thing to hear. And I don't say it to toot my own horn. I say it to just drive home that point that what you do is what makes you you. And that is what's going to make it different. And you do want to stand out. And I feel like that, you know, on a beat of 8 to 10 writers and reporters, and we all have the same news, like the news is the news and the team is the team. How do you find a way to share stories that are maybe a little bit different? And I think that's just a really important thing to drive home. So I'm glad that you brought that up.
Yeah, I love that saying too. You should add that to your Instagram bio because
you're right. One of the
I like that.
That's true. It's actually, you know what? I should look at that. Look at that today. Yeah, exactly. And 100%. And it is good to lean into that. And it's okay with that. And it's a good thing to say. And it's funny that you just said that because it didn't even occur to me, but you're right. I should. And when I'm talking to people, I should say that and say, I bring a fresh perspective, a fresh, different perspective to the beat. We have an incredible beat and I have incredible colleagues, but that was just a really cool thing that she said. And I felt like, oh, I love that. That makes me happy. So it is important to kind of lean into who you are. And as you said, and it's so true, it's been enough thus far and it'll continue to be enough as who you are. I guess maybe you've sort of answered this, but, and maybe your answer is what we just talked about, but if you could give our listeners one piece of advice for starting a career in this field, what would it be?
I mean, once you kind of carve out who you are as a person, I think the biggest advice I could give is to not take criticism to the core of who you are. Mm-hmm. They are, and because what we're doing is who we are, right? So my delivery is my voice, the way my face and my expressions are, that's my face. Like I can't change those things. And I think a lot of the times in this industry, you hear a person say back, hey, maybe not use that tone of voice, or maybe change your inflection, or maybe this hairstyle is better suited. And so you take that as an internal reflection of, oh, since you're criticizing what truly makes up me as a person, mm-hmm. I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not blah, blah, blah. I think that's where you have to different, like, make two different people, right? There's Haley on TV, and then there's Haley the human at home, right? There's two mm-hmm. different people. Haley's image and looks and inflection and all these things, they have to be critiqued, because that's your job. Your job is a lot of who you are looking like and what you do on TV and how you deliver. But try to change or keep those two things separate in your mind of realizing, simply because that outfit didn't look good on TV doesn't mean the outfit doesn't look good, right? It's just mm-hmm. realizing that just because your voice or the way you said something here doesn't sound good doesn't mean what you said was stupid or wrong. And just because this look or this hairstyle or what you were doing with your face or body language didn't look good here doesn't mean it's wrong in real life. So I think making sure you're able to separate the two so that you can be a sane person, and also not critical of yourself when you're just out having fun with your friends. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can feel this way too. Sometimes when I go in group settings, I have a hard time turning it off. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. Girl, relax. No one's right. looking at your eyebrows moving. Like,
right. But it's hard. It's really hard, especially yeah. when you're in a career where everyone's looking at you all the time.
Yes. And that's the hardest thing. You have to tell yourself, you're okay, this first date, girl, he's not interviewing you. He just wants to know what you like. Like, just right. relax. And so that's something I would tell people, is try to make two different people in your mind and realize when you're getting criticism of your image and of your voice and of the things that you are saying, it is not a reflection of you as a human. That is a job thing. And I'm so sorry my voice is like kind of going out because last night was wild. But, I've been 2 days out from that game and I still have a bad voice. Anyways.
But see, here you are doing it and your voice is fine. But see, this is this is, I think, a great example. Your voice is great. It's not going out at all.
I appreciate Perfect. That. See, yeah, there you go. You criticize yourself even in these like conversational things, and turning the self-criticism off is a must if you're going to be in this industry. And I still am working on that like every single day.
So we did a little bit earlier in the podcast, kind of a day in the life of your game day, yeah. but I would love to do a day in the life of Haley Lewis, and it could be any day. You could go with more depth on game day. It could be a day during the week, but I would love to do a day in the life of Haley Lewis.
Yeah. And I think honestly, you probably have a similar life during the week. We have my weeks leading up to game day. People don't see that, right? They see right. what you put on the field on game day, and they don't see all the work that goes into it. It is a full-time job. So you go on, you know, Monday, you got the head coach presser, you go to practice afterwards, you turn a couple stories around it, you write web articles around it, you take notes, you get ready for Tuesday, which is usually an off day here in KC. We take Tuesdays off, then we move on to Wednesday, Thursday. Wednesday is always head coach, quarterback, couple players, go to practice, do some reports from Arrowhead outside the stadium. Again, go back to the station, anchor, put together packages, put up web stories. It's this constant week of research for what leads up to the actual game. Thursday, you talk to coordinators, then you talk to a couple more players, then you go in the locker room, talk to more players, you go out on the field. So the entire time you're gathering information for the 4 seconds you get on TV on Sunday to put it all together, right? So I think for me, the daily life is more staying on top of what's going on, staying on top of the news. And you know this as well. When something comes out and someone tweets it down the pipeline, and you know, you're not Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter, you got to hop on that quick and get out the news to your audience, because that you're the next channel of breaking it, but also you're the one who's there. You know, right. they're getting the information from these agents, and they get the national news, but you're the one who can say, hey, well, I immediately brought that up in the locker room to so-and-so who had these few words on the latest trade. And you can give them the inside beat that those national, and this is no hate against those national reporters, but what they can't do because they're not physically there. So my day-to-day life is more about physically being there and being present with these players and being at practice and evaluating and taking notes and getting ready for the prep that goes into the game day, long days at the stadium and everything. So basically a day-to-day for me is a lot of press conferences, a lot of locker room time, and a lot of time on the field. But all my shoes are filled with turf. That's really annoying.
Of course, all of them, those pellets.
I cannot get it. I call them turf mites because they literally just stick in all my shoes and everywhere. They're all in my house. And yeah, have to find a lot of, I'm sure you do this too, have to find a lot of outfits that you can wear outside, sweat in, but then still look decent and run back into the studio and be on air like a couple minutes later. Like the fit changes are crazy.
The fit changes are crazy. And you know, it's so funny. I'm glad you kind of brought up all, you know, the weeks of practice and locker room. I had someone say to me a couple years ago, well, why do you go to practice? Do you just like it? And I'm like, and this person, they didn't mean anything by it, but I said, yeah. So she works in fashion.
Okay.
I said, well, do you just go to the fashion show? Like, do you just go to the fall fashion show and spring fashion show? And I said, a lawyer doesn't just show up in court. It's the same thing. Yeah. And the players don't just show up for the game. I was like, it's just funny. And I think that's something with this industry that it is kind of an anomaly to people who aren't in it.
Right.
And it's such an important part of it because we are also preparing for game day.
And we do it all week long. Too. Yeah. You got to know. Hey, I saw that guy on punt return a lot in practice. So he's probably going to be the one who goes in place of so-and-so. Like those are things that you have to be there to physically observe. Because again, the national news will always come down. It's just, you are the one who can add to it and give the local ties to it because you're physically there in person. I think being present is like a huge part of this job.
100%. I could not agree more. Well, Haley, this has been awesome. I have loved talking with you, but I can't let you go yet because we have to do 5 fun facts. And I know everyone on this podcast, everyone listening is sick of hearing me say this, but it's something that I always like our guests to know how the genesis of 5 fun facts is something I started doing with the 49ers players. And we do a video and they get to share 5 things about themselves that you wouldn't otherwise know. But on this podcast, we do it a little bit differently where we ask everyone the same 5 questions every week. Okay. And we get all kinds of different answers, which has been, in a word, fun. So if you are ready, 5 fun facts with Haley Lewis.
I'm nervous, but I'm here.
Don't be nervous. It's very chill. And they're your facts. There's literally no right or wrong. They are totally your facts. So the first one is, what is your favorite moment in sports?
Oh my gosh. Okay. This would be the AFC title game when the Chiefs beat the Titans it was a 2019 season, but it was technically 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time that the Chiefs were going to the Super Bowl in forever. It was going to be 50 years in the making. And then, of course, they go on to win the Super Bowl against the 49ers.
That's okay. I just cover the team. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. Not to worry. I was like, I know this is where she's going with it. It's totally fine.
As it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, oh, yeah, no, maybe not.
It's okay.
That was just that moment. I'm from Kansas City originally. I moved back here for that job, and I came in week 4 of that season.
Oh, that's amazing.
Jump on the field and catch those players and talk to them. I mean, I was over the moon because the last time they went to the Super Bowl, my mom was like 4, you know, and
wow.
Crazy things that happened. So that was a surreal moment, very full circle for me.
And while you were saying that, I was in a locker room full of people who were very, very, very sad.
Yeah.
It was a very different. I was at it because I was like, oh man, this is not going to be fun. But I'm glad your experience was completely different.
Well, the next year is terrible. So
that's true. You know what? That's sports. Sports. There's a winner and a loser, and you can't always be the winner.
Absolutely.
What is your life motto?
Ooh, F it. No one cares. Like literally, go take the photo. Go stand in front of the crowd. Go do. Who gives a living crap if they stare at you? Do 100%. Your own life. So that's my biggest thing. Screw them. Do you?
What is your go-to workout?
Oh, I love weightlifting. Anything that's building the booty. I love building the shelf. So
I'm a big fan
of booty workouts. I also have my physical trainer's license, and so I do that a lot.
Oh, amazing.
On the side, it's kind of, you know, it's like my outlet, right? It's a thing I can do to get away from my actual job. And so yeah, booty burners are my favorite workout.
Those are my favorite too. I had Pilates this morning and she was like, ooh, we're gonna end with arms and then one more ab series. And I was like, instead of abs, can we do booty? And she was like, oh sure, no problem. So I'm with you there.
Love it.
What is your go-to coffee order?
Okay. I am a regular blonde roast with a little bit of oat milk and cinnamon sprinkled on top.
Ooh.
Do I pay like $17 for that? Yes. And I don't care because I'm always going to have a latte. I love it.
Well, that goes with your F it. Just do it. It's your $17 and your latte, and you should enjoy it.
You might be broke one day, girl, but get it together.
And last but not least, a book every woman should read.
Oh, that one might trip. You know what? There's a book called Boundaries.
Oh, and
it and there's boundaries. And I think there's like this person wrote this book about boundaries in dating, boundaries in work, boundaries with family, all these different things. I just read the generic one and it taught me so much that I applied to not only my personal life, but to my work life, creating healthy boundaries. Because as you know, this job can be very consuming and you got to take care of your mentals. And players know that too, right? So
yeah,
creating those healthy boundaries of, at this time, I will shut this off and I will go to sleep. So that's a good book to read if you ever have a little bit hard time of being a workaholic or just getting a little too, you know, us girls, we go to bed and we think about the things we did in third grade that embarrassed us. So
exactly.
That has helped me shut it off and just go to sleep.
That is awesome. Haley, thank you so much. This has been just fantastic.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for having me on. What you're doing is amazing. I've loved watching it from afar and I'm just happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. Please let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
It is at @HaleyLewis_sports. Because apparently Haley Lewis is a famous Australian swimmer. So.
Oh, okay. So there we go. @HaleyLewis_sports. And if you guys like what you heard, and I know you did, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review. You can follow us on Instagram @FangirlSportsNetwork. We are brought to you by Bet Online and ButcherBox. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.